to be sick today. We've decided, we're doing a series. Anybody who wasn't here last week? Anybody here? Anybody not here that was here last week? No. Just testing you're awake. We're doing a series, for those who don't know, on some titles, and they're prefixed by the phrase, "we have decided." And "we've decided to decide" is really powerful. You know, to decide to follow Jesus is the best decision you will ever make. And that's not just in 15th of September 1979. That's a daily decision, isn't it, to follow Jesus. And that decision on a daily, moment-by-moment basis is powerful. And that volition that we have scares me a little bit. But, you know, when we engage with God, it frightens the devil to bits, for sure, for sure. My last week and this week is we've decided that confident faith is good, but bold faith is better. And for those who weren't here last week, and just to recap a little bit, I was in Quick Fit a couple of years ago and read all the stuff, and God said, "Read your money." And so I got a £20 note out and I started reading my money. And on the £20 note, on any pound note, any current note, it says, "I promise to pay the bearer on demand." Excuse me. And so last week we did maybe the easy part. I promise to pay the bearer. And today I just want to finish off with this terribly irksome phrase against our British nature, on demand. And I can maybe hear some change of the portcullis gates sort of rising slightly and people wondering, where's he going to go with this one? I'm not a name it and claim it person or a blab it and grab it, but there is power in our making a demand on heaven. Is that all right? And we live with that so far. So first of all, you know, we looked at God has said, "I promise." Sheesh kebab. I could swoon at that. I could just get lost in that, throw my magic boomerang and just get lost in that for probably days. That God has made us promises. That Abba Father has said to you lot, "I promise." That's just tremendous, isn't it? That's just right there and then. "I promise." And it's got an exclamation mark, I guess. "I promise. I promise the likes of me." No, that just should bowl us all over. I just get so excited by the smallest of God's words, really. And may it never change. And "I promise to pay the bearer." And so we looked at God's promises are sure and steadfast. And he's 100% earnestly committed to what he says. He cannot be anything less than committed 100% to his promise to you and to me. And then the bearer we looked at, being intimate with God, it's not just the promises of God are in the air. Like, how many people can hear Radio 2 right now? Well, none of you really, unless you plugged in and switched on. Unless your receiver is on and up, then there's all kinds of stuff in this room. And I'm glad we can't see it, of course, because there's all stuff, isn't there? World communication, this room, if we could see it, would just be a fog of communication from all the BBCs and the Freeviews and the phone channels and just a mass of just numbers and letters. But we need to receive God's promise. We need to bear them in our hearts. And we talked about Rebecca and her pregnancy, really. And we need to be intimate with Jesus to get pregnant with those promises. And then we're pregnant with that word to hold it, to protect it. There's a terrible verse which I'll read. I'm reading from the Amplified. It is terrible. The potential of it. I've got two Bibles today. I'm going to get you. From the Amplified and the Message. And in Isaiah, for those listening on the podcast, 26 verses 17 and 18. This is a terrible potential. "As a woman with child drawing near to the time of her delivery, who is in pain and writhes and cries out in her pangs, so have we been before you at your presence, O Lord. We have been with child We have been writhing and in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth only wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. I think that's a terrible word in potential, not just the content of it, but the potential of it to be pregnant with the word of God, to have a promise, and that sneaky snide called the thief comes along, or the cares of the world, or us being persecuted, or whatever reason, somehow we get pregnant, we carry the word, and then there's just no deliverance in the earth. No deliverance wrought in Ormskirk or your situation. And quite often it is because it gets stolen from us, because we give it up so easy, because we're lazy, because I'm daft, because I give in, because of whatever. So we really do need to hold that word as the word and hold it full term until we get a speedy delivery like last Sunday and we have a bundle of joy, a bundle of responsibility for the next 30 odd, 50, 60, 9 years. Yeah, deep joy. Let me read Hebrews 10, verses 22 to 24. It says this in the Amplified. Let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified. My title is, we have decided that confident faith is good, but bold faith is better. Bold faith. Bold faith. I promise to pay the bearer on demand. That's crossing the line. That's going into something that's scary for me. Dangerous because we can get flaky, but we've got a good body here. We've got good leadership. We've got safety nets. We've got each other to test the words. But God is calling us to have bold faith. Let us draw near, come forward with a true, honest, sincere heart in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction. Absolute conviction engendered by faith. By that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience and our bodies cleansed with pure water, let us seize, hold fast, retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable and sure and faithful to his word. Hold on, retain, cherish, acknowledge. There's so much there, isn't there, of getting pregnant and then holding it, retaining it and cherishing it like Rebecca did. You cherish what's on the inside, don't you? That thing that you've got from God, that promise, that word, that life. The word came and tabernacled amongst us. Does the word tabernacle amongst us? Does it indwell? And then we need to cherish that. Let me, the word demand, I don't know whether I've ever used that word in anger. Maybe as a kid. You just see the word demand, it's a bit of a stropolous kid in the toy shop saying, I want that, I'll give you it now. Otherwise I'll throw a wobbler and I'll have a tantrum. I don't mean that kind of demand. But there's something on the inside of me that I've not discovered yet. That I believe I'm just Job normal-ish on a good day with the wind behind me. But I know I just got something on the inside for his church where we can stand up and say, no, or yes, or this way or that way. Where we can get something on the inside, and I spoke, maybe I didn't last week, but we are gatekeepers. People of importance in olden days in Jerusalem, the gatekeepers let stuff in and made sure stuff didn't get in. As gatekeepers, we have authority on planet Earth to say yes or to say no. Let me give you some foundation slabs. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock. Oh God, it's just like a love song. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is that good? Fear not, little flock. Listen, I'm glad I'm second to Jesus. Everything's second to Jesus, isn't it? You know, I'm without that Holy Spirit on the inside, I have nothing. I have no power, I have no strength, I have nothing at all. As Paul said, I have no good thing indwells me. But here's Jesus saying, fear not, Jim, little Jim. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the Young's literal translation, it says, fear not, little flock, because your Father did delight to give you the reign. That's good. Isn't that good? It is your Father's delight. God in heaven, how many times do we pray, as I said last week, trying to get God in a good mood? Don't we? That's fallen from grace. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I do. But in this sense, context, I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you tithe. I don't care how much you attend this meeting, that conference, this book, that tape. I'm not bothered. I am, because that's good to feed ourselves. But we don't get God in a good mood by what we do. He is satisfied with his Son, what he did 2,000 odd years ago when he bled and died. Now there's a release already. Fear not, little flock. Your God is delighted to give you the reign. It's his delight that we reign. And so I promise to pay the bearer on demand. It's his delight that we come to this place, whatever it means, and I hope I do it justice, this place of reigning, this place of not just having confident faith, pie in the sky when I die, but bold faith, ham where I am, right now, on the streets, in Tesco's, Lidl, Wigan, wherever you are. God's delight is that you reign right there and then as gatekeeper, bearing promises, knowing his word and saying yes and saying no. Again, just to repeat myself, culturally, I think it bears saying again, culturally, if I take that £20 note to Asda for something that's £19.99 and I give it to the checkout person, it would be bizarre and obscure and anti-culture, counterculture, for her or him to say, nah. It's daft, isn't it? And so when we present God's word to himself, we can have assurance and confidence because of his delight to give us the rain that he's going to come through. As Dave said last week, there should maybe be more amens, not in my preaching, but that's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth of his word. He delights to give us the rain. That £20 note is the currency of England. Our word of God that we get pregnant with and are bearing it in faith gives us the right, if you will, to present that legally and scientifically, if you like, to have it done on earth. People are not too sure. You know, I was reminded when I was getting this, I watched a documentary about power and power stations. And they had all these desks and lights and switches and gear and technical stuff. And the guy was asking, what happens then? The needle went up and they said, that's when there's the highest demand. You know, and it can be predicted almost when EastEnders finishes at 8:30. It goes up because people go and put the kettle on. And they make a demand on the national grid. Is it more palatable when I say it like that? They make a demand on the national grid. Industry at certain times of the night make a demand. They're using what's available. Is any pennies dropping? They're using what's available. They're drawing down, they're making a demand on what's already there, available for their needs. They're drawing down from what's available to meet their needs. Matthew 16:19 says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper. And this is not God now. This is about you, Dave Smith. This is you. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. I don't believe this is semantics what I'm going to say now, but Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He didn't say, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. You know, if a cleaner has the keys to the bank, he or she, didn't say she, practiced being sexist, he or she will only have access to certain parts. They will have keys to the bank, to the canteen, to the office, to the corridors, limited access. We have keys of the kingdom. We have the keys. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need to take on a new identity, seriously. I need to take on. I've got the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes all I do is rattle them. On a Sunday, Jesus is, you know, we rattle them easy, don't we? We confess them easily because it's cerebral. But listen, church, you're imagining this. We've got the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's staggering, isn't it? That's just mind-blowing. I can go. I have access to all areas to the king of the universe as a co-heir, as a child of God, as one of his. I now have access, complete and utter access to him and all his resources for every and any circumstance and situation. Yeah. Redemption covered every eventuality. Mm-hmm. Every eventuality. There's no physical health, there's no resource problem, there's no mental health issue, there's no relational issue, there's no creational issue. There's nothing that is not under redemption. Yes. Nothing. Nothing at all. That's good. Are we drawing down? Are you making a demand on those resources? It covers the devil. We've heard it already. He is completely, utterly, totally defeated. Amen. I was trying to think of another superlative, but that's the truth. Yeah. The only thing he's ever had is lies, yeah, and deception. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I take it. Hook, line, fishing rod, the whole thing. But God is speaking truth today, saying to us that it is his delight is to give you rain. Wherever you are right now, his delight is to give you and me rain. Hallelujah. Are we drawing down? Are we making demands? I was going to bring a 30-watt bulb today, because sometimes I only draw down about that much, just to light a 30-watt bulb. It is laughable. This isn't the grid. This isn't the national. This, when I raise my hand, sometimes I think they're like plugs You know, this isn't the national 240 volts, the grid, the national grid. This isn't into Sellafield. This is into heaven. This is into 2,000 years ago, locking into what he did. It is finished. He took the keys off the devil, the keys of death and hell. It is finished, and now it's time. It always has been time, but for God is really wooing us, exhorting us to plug in to the heavenly grid and draw down and make withdrawals for where we are right now, to make godly demands on the resources of heaven.
That's right.
But there's an image problem. There's a mentality problem. There's an expectation problem sometimes. Any chance, God, is it all right? Could you just spare me a dime? Come on, you know, God, it's his delight to give us the kingdom. His opulence. The heavens declare his glory. Mm-hmm. Last time I counted how many galaxies there were, I just went lost. You know, I'm sorry to repeat this, but it just blows my gasket to know how many billions of galaxies. Just God showing off for us. That's what I think it is. I think God took the fluff out of his pockets and made the universe like that. Out of nothing, he just spoke it. And he just says, that's how much. That's how much. That's how much. And but earthly light, like in the natural, just dims our view and we see a couple of stars. But if God wants to open us up to see an amazing, just glorious God delighting in his church, giving us so much. Let me read this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, in the Message. Now that we know that we have Jesus, it's in Romans. I'll get to Matthew. It's Romans 8:32, and it says this. So what do you think? That's what it says. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of his chosen?
Yeah.
I love that. I just think there should be a Scouse version of the Bible. You mess with me? Sort of a New York gangster thing. You want some of this? You know, you mess with me. Who would dare mess with God's chosen? You know, arrogance and pride, I fear, I disdain, I would not embrace. They are to be avoided at all costs. But false humility is just about on the same spectrum, except the other way. Because it might be the same thing, actually. So who would dare mess with you? Do you get that? I'm not saying we walk around with a cocky attitude. I'm saying, God's speaking to us and saying, we've decided that confident faith's good, but bold faith is better. You're the kid. We're the kids. We're the kids who God delights in. And he's delighted not just in us to save us, but to give us the rain. And the devil's stupid, I'm telling you. And I don't say that. I say that not in a bravado. I say that he's messing with God's anointed. He's messing with God's kids. And our attitude and our expectation, I believe, needs to rise to a point where we can stand like Elijah and say, no, in the name of the Lord before whom I stand, I'm not having this.
Yeah, that's right.
Because this is not part of my inheritance. God has not given me a spirit of fear or cowardice. or craving, it says in the Amplified, but of love, and of power, and of love, and a sound mind. Thus says the Lord. Imagine standing saying that. Imagine getting some more promises on the inside. Imagine the prayer meeting. Imagine us standing and just declaring some things. Imagine us standing and just prophesying some things. Imagine us just going to work tomorrow and saying, I'm having a better day than I feel. Oopsie-daisy. Are we drawing down? Are we drawing down? Are we drawing down? Hebrews, get there eventually. Hebrews 4, excuse me, verses 16. Now that we know we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to, with our reality, he's been through weakness. Excuse me, I messed that up. Now that we know that we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. People need to hear that. The devil's a liar. He's a con man. And he'll tell you that he doesn't understand. He understands everyone else, but he just doesn't understand you. Now that we know we have Jesus, in the message there, it just says, now that we know we have, Jesus. We could just stop there, couldn't we? Mm-hmm. Now that we know that we have Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a high priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but sin. So, listen to this in the message. So let's walk right up to him and get what we need. That's succinct, isn't it? So let's just walk right up to him and get what we want. What we need. Not what we want, maybe. I'm between two worlds. Jesus is my best friend. And he's awesome, God. And he's just my best friend. And I chat with him. But he's Almighty God. And when I pray, I'm like John sometimes. I just swoon. When I come here, I can talk to you guys about anything. But when I come here also, it's Almighty God's house. It's not about the building. It's about the church. It's trying to get that good mix, isn't it? You know, we walk with an awesome God who sticks closer than a brother. And yet here it says, we have this high priest who's not out of touch with our reality. I just love what it says there. So walk right up to him. So let's get to him. So let's walk right up to him. So let's stop being religious. So let's stop doing some stuff. And let's just walk right up to him. Because he delights to give us the rain. Sometimes, I said last week, I'm a billionaire. And sometimes I live like a rotten tramp, a pauper. And I'm not happy about that. I repent. I just repent every day. I want to get to heaven and I want Jesus to open the door. And that's what's left here of what you did and spent. And I look around this empty room. Where is it? Well, you spent it. Imagine you get to heaven. This is an imagination, but it might just get a point. And Jesus said, this is what was available to you. And you see this hall, voluminous, with stuff, with healings and deliverances and encouragements and stuff, heavenly stuff that should have been spent on earth. I wonder what we'll feel like, if that could be true. If I was to say disappointed, it's just not going to cover it, is it? You know, I love the scripture. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in Joel, but he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Has anybody had any locusts in their life? You know, I love the idea that we can have a fresh start, a new day every day where we can still get up, brush ourselves off and say, yeah, I slipped a bit, fell a bit, come on, I'm having it again though, because God delights to give us the rain. If you have a lamp and you switch it on, you make a demand. Have you ever talked to the lamp? Right, lamp. I need some light. I'm going to read. How are you feeling today, lamp? You know, I've looked after you well. You're expensive. You're from M&S. You're a good lamp. You're a beautiful lamp. I'm going to switch you on now, lamp. Would you come on? You make a demand, don't you? Now, don't get me wrong. Please stay with me. How many times, hands up, have you switched the lamp on and it hasn't come on and you rang the power station? How many times? Anybody? Hello, Sellafield. That's 1B here. My lamp won't come on. You've got a problem. You wouldn't do it, would you? No. What would you do? You'd change the fuse. You'd look at the bulb. How many times do we complain to God? Don't have to put your hand up. How many times do I ring the power station and say something's wrong? Is anybody with me? How many times do I talk to my father and say, don't you know I'm in pain? In Exodus 14, 12 to 16, I won't read it for time, but the children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt and they come to the Red Sea and they're caught now between the devil in the deep blue. And they're whinging and whining and moaning. And Moses, being that man of faith, trying to get them to stay in faith, says, listen, it's going to be all right. You watch. Today's going to bring deliverance. The enemies you see today, you're not going to see them tomorrow. He's there. He's prophesying. He's proclaiming what he feels on the inside. And he goes to God and God says, what are you crying to me for? I'll embarrass you by my silence. God says, what are you crying to me for? Go forward. That's not what you want to hear sometimes, is it? No. Does anybody want sympathy sometimes and a bit of a there and a rub on the shoulder or the back of the neck or a bit of a head massage? Oh God, it's a terrible situation. I mean, I'm really just fed up. The lamp hasn't come on at all, God. That lamp's terrible. I'm taking it back. Confident faith is good. Bold faith is better. I need to grow up into the full stature of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. That was too enthusiastic. Do you know something I don't? Is this coming across? This is almost like putting on something, isn't it? We need to put off the old man. We need to get more comfortable in who we are in Christ. We need to be the church, his beloved. We need to know who we are. I don't know where it is. I didn't look it up. But you know, when Jesus teaching people to pray, he said, if you say to this mountain, it will be removed. But what do we do? Oh, God, the mountain. That's not the science of God. God didn't say to talk to God about the mountain. He said, talk to the mountain about God. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that right? Is it right? No, is it though? Is it? Is it? Is it though? Is it? There are mountains all around us. And I sometimes just talk to God about my mountain. I think it's a new day where we need to draw a line in the sand. I'm not saying we do this all of the time. You know what I'm saying, in balance. But there's a time as gatekeepers where we need to say to that mountain, I represent a God, the only God, and I command you to get out the way. Be thou removed.
Mm-hmm.
That's bold faith. Confident faith is good. Bold faith is better.
Mm-hmm.
The infrastructure is there and the bill has been paid. I declare that. The infrastructure is there and the bill has been paid by Jesus. I'm going to stop. Can I pray? Excuse me. You know, I, for me, just to speak and it be hot air, nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. I don't need that. You don't need that. You just, I'd advise you to go somewhere else. And again, I imagine there's a choice we have to make. Was that just him having good ideas? Or was there anything of that of God? Now, there'll be chaff in it, of course. You prophesy in part. But I just believe if there was a God part, which I believe there is, we should respond. We should say yes. We should say, I'm having some of that. I'm having all of that. And so I would like to maybe pray.
Yeah, I want you to pray. I'm coming up here with you because
okay.
I want to share with you.
I want to pray that we, however much we can be, will never be the same again. I don't want to go round the mountain in and maybe 6 months or 12 months be in the same spot. I say God forbid to that. I want you and us as Jarl Church to be in a different place because of what God's encouraging us over this series of We Have Decided. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that you are wooing your bride, Lord God. You are drawing us with cords of love, Lord God. You are saying, come higher. You are saying, come deeper. You are saying, Lord God, my beloved. And we want to respond, Lord God, and say, as real as we can, yes to you. You knock us over all the time, Lord God, when we worship, when we adore you, when we praise you, when we're with you intimately, you bowl us over, Lord God. And Father, thank you that we can be comfortable in that. And yet, Father, you're saying, as the Lord of the harvest, who will I send? Who will go for me? Who will represent me fully and completely? Who will be my arms and legs, my mouth, my hands? Who will be my body? And Father, for us, Lord God, for me individually, for us, OCF, Lord God, we just want to say yes, Lord God. We will be those gatekeepers, Father. We will be your children. We will be those that you have sent, that you have called and you have sent. Lord, we pray, Lord God, you take our confident faith and you'd cause it to be bold faith, that in these minutes, moments, and hours, and days, and weeks, the rest of our lives, Lord God, we would never be the same again. Because we've met with you this morning, because your word is tabernacled, because I pray your word would be barbed, Lord God, it would go in and stick. That, Lord, you'd protect it, we'd protect it, we'd cherish it, we'd be pregnant, Lord, and bring deliverance to this planet Earth, Lord God. We'd bring some of your kingdom, more of your kingdom,
that's right,
to bear upon this fallen planet, this hurting planet, this lost planet that is traveling through space, people going to hell. God, people who are lost, Lord God, people who are hopeless. Father, as Isaiah said, Lord, we say in our hearts and in our mouths, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord God, Father, thank you that you've equipped us. Thank you that you've given us so, so much. You've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And every situation, you've given us keys, Lord God, that we might unlock the resources of heaven. Oh, Father God, I pray that you would do more abundantly than I could ever ask or think by your Spirit, Father God, in this regard, in Jesus' name. Amen.